Unity is strength and assured success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand, divided we fall.
Yes! Is the truth. Unity is about solidarity. United we stand, divided we fall. Because if we let each other go to the dogs and don't hold them to account, everything will go to the dogs. You're listening and being a representation of everything going to the dogs, we created the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. Today is a monumental occasion on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, where we have the fabulous darling and double duo goodie bag couple, the Swerdlows. We have Stuart and Janet from Expansions.com, and this marks the occasion of the set off of a few schemes. Now, scheme number one. We have Stuart and Janet first hour on Fridays, Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane in the second hour on Fridays. So that means that every weekend you will be able to tune in to the two most discriminated couples in the Patriot community worldwide. And what I thought might be a good idea, actually, is a lot of people out there who are listeners to this show also experience a lot of abuse, discrimination, in some cases, being set up, and I'm talking both activists, YouTubers, street people from We Are Change, all that kind of stuff. I know for a fact that each and every one of you has had at least some description of abuse thrown at you, and I figure if you want to figure out how to deal with it, you go to the experts. And without further ado, here they are, Stuart and Janet Swerdlow. Welcome.
Hi, Vinnie. How are you doing today?
Hi, Vinnie. Nice to hear your voice.
Oh, man. All good warm fuzzies all round, I say. And thank you very much for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule. I believe we had to delay the launch of this particular segment by about 6 weeks. and indeed, we've got a name for this fiasco. It's called Going Ape. Can you explain to the listeners, Stuart, just what is the Going Ape project here?
Absolutely. And APE stands for Attention Planet Earth, because it's very important now that everyone on the Earth pays attention to what's going on. And I'll tell you what, the second half of this year is going to be a real roller coaster ride. If you thought the first half was bad, you just better fasten your seatbelts and stay tuned.
Yep, absolutely. I saw a glimmer of fake good news last night. Apparently, the oil prices are coming down. Oh, great. It's only that the carbon taxes are increasing, though.
Well, and not only that, in the United States, they're talking about releasing some of the oil reserves, which I know they have several years' worth of oil and gasoline reserves on hand, and the prices could come down to very low levels if they were to release it. But, of course, they're just teasing the public, and that's never going to happen.
Well, I see the public as kind of being treated as cattle, and rather than being teased, they're in fact being milked for every little droplet of protein that they can get out of them.
Well, that's the truth. That's the truth. And you know, Janet and I just returned the other night from a 4,000-kilometer trip across Europe. We went everywhere from Bosnia to Holland and stopped at a lot of locations, and in fact, I'll talk about that a little bit. We climbed the Bosnian pyramids. But what I want to make a point of here is that across much of Europe, the people really don't allow the imposition of the rules and regulations to stop them, especially in Italy, where they make it a style, if you will, to go around the rules and regulations and not pay attention to them, even though Europe is the center of New World Order Illuminati families. So I found that very interesting.
Well, where does it all tie in to us here and now, because what I often hear from people's mouths is that if you start talking about symbolism, old bloodlines, ancient black nobility, things of a what would be considered in this day and age to be an esoteric form of research, that's what switches people off in the main.
Well, that's true. You know, a lot of people out there, especially in the United States, they're so used to hearing propaganda from CNN and Fox News and AOL and all of the major news networks here, even on the BBC, that they are more willing to believe the official stories of things than to look behind the scenes. Because one of the points I want to make is that people are not taking responsibility, not for just what's happening in the world, but they're not taking responsibility for what's happening in their own lives. And it's much easier to just blame some, you know, non-seen person in Central Asia or in North Korea or any other place that's remote and most people never go to, than take responsibility for what's happening in your own home and in your own country. And the point is that we each need to open up our minds, our eyes, our ears, look at what's going on around us and say, okay, what am I doing to contribute to this? What do I need to do to stop it and turn it around? That's what people need to be thinking about.
But interestingly enough, you have to remember how the Illuminati introduce information. When they bring something in, they bring it in on the fringes. And initially, people reject that. Initially, people laugh at it, and they talk about how terrible or disgusting it is. But it's a way of introducing it into the overall frequency of humanity. It comes in on the fringes. So even though we may be attacked, we may be sabotaged, people may laugh at us and call us things, but it doesn't really matter. We are still pioneers as far as bringing this to the forefront of humanity. And we are plowing an energetic path that we are opening up, that sooner or later, more and more people will get it. They will understand that this is what's going on. So let them laugh, let them sabotage, let them throw sticks and stones. It makes us stronger and it makes us more determined.
Well, there is an accusation against you two that expansions has become some kind of a sect.
Well,
how do you respond to that?
Well, just because I make people shave their heads and wear robes, Vinny, come on. What does that mean, you know, a sect, a cult? I think, you know, Christianity started out as a cult, actually. And I think that a lot of the political parties are sects, really. But what does it mean? It just means you believe a certain way. A cult imposes its belief system on its members. We don't do that. We tell people what we know, and it's up to each and every person to reject and accept as they see fit, and they can go their own way if they wish. That's a cult, then I guess that's the new definition.
It's no more of a sect than, for example, Morpheus's ship on the Matrix, the Nebuchadnezzar.
Well, exactly. You know, and the people who throw those words around and throw those accusations around, these are
word association. Word association. That's what it is. They just want to tar you with a little brush so that people get this instant idea and refuse to listen to you.
Yes, and it's also their own fear of what the truth is. And when they want to reject a truth, then they have to attack the messenger.
You know, what's curious to me is I don't exactly even understand why that word is associated with us when, as Stuart explains, we don't say to people, you have to have so many consultations or you have to do this or do that. We are all about empowering people. And people who say, you're a healer, you're a guru, you're this, you're that, we always say, no, 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 you are your own healer. You are your own guru. Do not put us on a pedestal. We have said that so many times that it's like our own mantra. But for some odd reason, people see us that way. And so I'm a little bit perplexed myself. But on the other hand, when you think in general society, you have to think of large organizations. The Mormon Church I've heard people call that a sect and a cult. I have heard the Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists. You know, you can go on down the line with people are calling things sects and cults. And I again, here we are kind of just out there doing our thing. Why they apply that term to me is very perplexing.
Well, you know, I see the world as a place full of infinite complexities. Everybody's got their own life story, but the problem is because society's become so homogenized and brainwashed in the same televisual psycho-type ways, that you wind up with a whole bunch of people that have the exact same problem. They accuse without thinking.
Well, that's
constant.
Absolutely, yeah, that's true. But, you know, it's not just at us. Those type of people accuse everybody in their life. You know, it's just that because we're on the air or we're out there publicly, our names get bantered about. But interestingly enough, they do that with everybody in their life. And as Stuart says, they are not taking responsibility in other areas, in other arenas, and their families aren't. And it's just, as I said, it's very perplexing to me when I hear these things being said, when we are the most empowering group that I can possibly think about. It just totally perplexes me.
Well, you know, and I think that the reason it perplexes you is because you're not stupid. And also the reason why you perplex them is because they're not psychopaths. They don't. The things that you're saying reveal that a lot of the world is run, in fact, by psychopaths, and that they have a great deal of influence upon you, and how you can cast your shackles off. Now, they then fully approach that as from the point of, I don't understand what a psychopath is, so I'm just going to assume that you're crazy. You're telling me something that's crazy, and I'll translate that as you actually being crazy.
No, that's true. And, you know, there's a saying that I heard many years ago. I do not know where it originated. But it said that there will come a time when that people who are sane will be considered insane, and people who are insane will be considered sane. And to me, that time is now. Because, as you mentioned, people are so indoctrinated through the media that, you know, from childhood, when they start watching television and listening to things, and it's continued in the educational system, that when they hear something that is outside of what they had been told all their lives, it's a real shock. I mean, think of when people first heard about there is no Santa Claus. You know, I've heard now children, you know, are still believing in Santa Claus until 6, 7, 8 years old and beyond. And that's a real shock when they find out there is no Santa Claus. And here in America, we're taught that Christopher Columbus discovered America. And when you don't hear he didn't until you get out of college, that's a shock to people. And it sounds crazy because that's all you know.
Yep. I always translate the word education. You know how I said before about how when you talk about psychopaths, they translate you as crazy.
Right.
Well, I translate education as indoctrination. And that's basically what it is. Every single person in this world, through some form or another, who you know, has access to the internet or whatever, can, if they wish, get their hands on decent information. However, it's not provided to them. It's not pushed in their face 10,000 times a year, like advertisements are for school children just a few, for just watching a few hours of TV a day, okay? There's a disproportionate amount of repetition on the part of the truth versus the lies, which I don't see as a terribly bad thing, because it means that the truth is more rare and perhaps more precious. And also, I believe what Howard Zinn said, despite the fact that he's a communist and all of that, but there's one good quote, one truth can shatter 1,000 lies. And that's what really, I think, motivates people to be so aggressive and abusive and accusatory, is because their lives are being shattered by what they're hearing, and their defense is to attack.
That makes sense.
Yes, and you know, we were just driving through the Waldensian territory in northwestern Italy and southern France, and the motto of the Waldensians is Lux lucet in tenebris, which means the light shines in the darkness. And so whenever there's a light that shines and there's a dark area, the light overpowers the dark, not the other. But there's a side effect to that, and that is, as you well know, when you turn on a light, it attracts the bugs, and the bugs flutter around the light. And they try to, and eventually if there's enough bugs, it tries to dim the light. So that's what we're seeing as far as attacks and aggression against people who say the truth and show the light. All the bugs come out of the woodwork and start flowering around them.
Well, you know, I suppose that's true. If you let this little light of mine shine, you attract giant, big, furry, fat moths. They're going to just they're just going to harangue you. Right, and I suppose, you know, it might be a bit of an inhuman thing to think of all these other human beings, let's not forget, as insects. But bear in mind, they can do about as much damage to you in the main as an insect. Either A1, you can freak out, oh my god, it's a big giant bug, oh, there's a kisser, or you can just go, whoosh, and flick it away.
That's very true. And I
think it all comes down to choice.
Yes, and I think that the best choice to make when these, you know, in quotes, bugs fly around the light is to really just ignore them. Because ultimately, they'll go away or they'll change their attitude. So the worst thing you could do to someone who attacks you and throws darts at you is just pay no attention to them, because then they have no motivation anymore.
They have to remember, too, that whatever you pay attention to, you give energy to it. And so it's best just to release it, let it go, and move on for that very reason. It's kind of like, you know, you see all the advertisements out there and you've got you know, breast cancer for women, let's say. Well, the more attention that they bring to it, the more cases are diagnosed and the more the issue grows. It doesn't dilute the issue. It doesn't make the issue go away. But whatever that they bring out and they advertise against, those are the things that grow, because somehow that infuses it with energy. And the energy is what gives it life. So we just do our best to ignore it and walk on, because we do not want to feed these attackers and saboteurs any energy, because really they're very small-minded.
It's supposedly called mimetics, is when you go for an ideal or something of that nature, the ideal gets fulfilled. But if you go against an ideal, the ideal that you're going against gets fulfilled. It depends what you put your energy towards, creating something or destroying something else. Because in the process of focusing your energy on destruction, you wind up being destroyed yourself. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests are Stuart Swerdlow and Janet Swerdlow. And you can call in now, 402-237-2525, 402-237-2525. And we'll be coming back just after the break. Check us out at the fabulous little chat room that we've got there at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Join the Facebook group there. I think it's called The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Man, I'm using a lot of repetition, and apparently repetition's a good form of brainwashing. We'll be right back, folks.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you old? Look at me, driving, and I won't stop.
We're driving. Driving into the sunset. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can join us in the chat room there. I just wanted to say a big congratulations to Ahmed in Tunisia, one of our diehard fundamentalist listeners to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And he passed his English exams. Isn't that nice? Overthrew his government and passed his English exams to boot. That's just great. And he'll next be out of chance in English while he's burning down a police station in the other way. But anyway, welcome back to my very special guests, Janet and Stuart Swerdlow as well. And we can take callers now, ladies and gentlemen. So if you want to get on the air for a little bit of a Friday, about to go out on the night, upbeat, or if you're being discriminated against in some way, being set up, problems, whatever, you just want some advice or you just want to rant or something, I say, mate, it's Friday and we've got the Swerdlows. Take advantage of the situation, okay? 402 237 402-237-2525 is the number to call. 402-237-2525. Janet Stewart, welcome back.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-mm-mm. Now, where would we like to take this? Because I discussed with you just before the show about how an attack on one is kind of an attack on all of us. And it seems to be that people getting set up, frustrated and all of that, do you think things are coming to a head, or have they just been along this kind of same level and people just haven't realized it because they haven't been discriminated against themselves yet?
Well, that's a very good question, and my feeling is that, as you may know, we are experiencing the activation of end-time programming by the Illuminati, and when that happens, we're going to see a lot of events that are connected to the Book of Revelation, which is the script for the end-time programming to begin. And so there's a lot of attacks, a lot of aggression. People's programmings kick in. Alters come forward, personalities change abruptly, and we can expect the unexpected suddenly. And we're seeing that not only with people in personal relationships, we're seeing that also in government, we're seeing that in politics, in economy. Everything changes abruptly. From one day to the next, you don't even know what to expect, except you know something's going to happen. And so you just have to ground yourself, balance yourself, keep yourself in that violet protection, use your brown merger symbol at your pineal gland, and take one step at a time as you move forward, because it is, as I mentioned, going to be a very bumpy ride. Now, this has been going on for at least 8-9 months, and I expect it's going to gradually intensify as we get into 2012, which, you know, is a big a year for all the disasters to happen, even though they're artificial. And as we get closer to December of 2012, it's just going to be even more intense and magnified.
Well, I mean, to what degree? I mean, for example, I had some abusive YouTube commenters. I talked yesterday about illegal immigration and Barack Obama, a.k.a. President BS, passing the, quote, Dream Act. Doesn't that sound nice? It allows all illegal aliens who are pregnant, in public education, or have family members in the service, full amnesty. They cannot be deported.
Okay. Well, you know, they've done things like that before in the past. And there were millions of illegal aliens that took advantage of that. You know, here in the United States, one of the motivations behind that is the formation of the North American Union. So if everybody is legal everywhere from, you know, Mexico to Canada, then in effect you have one big country with no borders. And that is what they're imposing on the population without them even realizing it. And so when we're seeing that happen also in Europe, we're seeing that happen in parts of Asia and Africa, every continent is becoming one huge country so that it can be easily managed from central location instead of, you know, the 200 different political systems that we have set up globally.
Well, I mean, personally, I do see it as a totally global system, so it means that most people will look at it as a problem that's too big for them to solve, when reality it is simply a projection. For example, if the New World Order has no control over your household, they can't control you. If they have no control over your community, they can't control you. If they can't control your city, they can't control you. So in a top-down way, they've instituted facilities and methods of governing people, legal systems, courts, etc., to take people's rights, liberties, and most importantly, money away from them. And so the solution to this is not to think, how can we bring the entire system down? The solution is, in fact, much more local. How can I break my programming? How can I break free from this system? Because it's only once you do realize that you're the one who is free, you're no longer a slave to the system, because freedom is a state of mind. Okay? Only once you realize that can you actually be truly effective against it. Well, that's my opinion. I could be wrong.
No, you're exactly correct. And I've been saying that for years, that humanity has the victimization mind pattern that attracts the tyrants and oppressors that put us down. And so it's up to each one of us to remove our portion of that victimization mind pattern. And then as it reaches a critical mass and spills over to the others, then the control system cannot possibly have any effect over us. So it's a responsibility for every individual out there to work on their deprogramming, their release work, grow up that child within, do the mental work, open up that 90% of the brain you're not using and the 97% of your DNA that you're not using. Imagine what you can accomplish if you open even a portion of that. And that's what Janet and I try to do and teach people in our work, is to achieve that goal. And, some people do it, some people not. We mentioned earlier in the broadcast, there are those who have fear issues and they get so far and then they just turn and go the other way.
And, you know, the other thing is, too, people have to understand that if they take down the Illuminati but they don't change their mind pattern, they just get another oppressor. So it really isn't about what they're doing to us. It's about what we are attracting. And by changing that mind pattern, there can be no oppressor. It's like we talked about the bright light and attracting all the bugs. We just have to refocus and keep the focus on ourselves and what we can do and move forward, change the victim to the victor. We are now moving forward. We are surpassing, and therefore we do not attract any oppressor. And then we can move forward. That's really where humanity can go should they choose to do so.
Well, what you're really talking about there, to my understanding, is a spiritual version of constitutional personal responsibility. Yeah, that's as far as I see it. But we have a caller here, I believe, calling into us from New Zealand. Caller, you're on the air.
Well, a very good day to you, Mr. News. You guys all sound so great on the air. I just had to call in.
Oh, it's our somewhat fabulous producer, Mr. Mitch Santel.
Hi, Mitch.
Hi, Mitch.
Hi there. You're all sounding so great today, and I was inspired to call in because it really does come down to the individual making a contribution. Vinny, I just got an email from a woman by the name of Claudia in Costa Rica who is taking on the health minister and the entire health department of Costa Rica, who is trying to revaccinate every child in Costa Rica next week.
Holy cow. There's also big vaccination increases projected here in New Zealand as well. Get this. The government called this panel to, quote, figure out how to increase the vaccine uptake. Not whether or not vaccines are safe or effective or anything like that. And anybody who brought up the dangers of vaccines and all the hard, detailed scientific evidence that they are dangerous and ineffective gets completely ignored, because that's not what they're looking for. What they're looking for is how to make sure people get more of that toxic poison. That's how governments control you. They define the parameters of what you can do. I'm sorry, a tangent there, but go on ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, no worries. What I'm seeing is, and I don't know, Janet, if you and Stuart feel this way, but I do feel a very positive shift that's going on right now. And that's where more and more people are taking self-responsibility. They're willing to take action. And the people that are sort of doom and glooming them and saying they're conspiracy nuts, a lot of those people seem to be falling away right now.
Well, that's very true, and that's because they're seeing that something is very wrong with what the news is telling us. You know, I keep going back to that, you know, story of how they captured Osama and killed him and dumped him in the water. There's not one person we found in Europe who believes that story.
In fact, they all laugh at it, and some of the Americans, you know, they're they don't even know what to think, because as we talked about earlier, they've been mind controlled for so long that this is the way the U.S. is. But even people who believe the 9/11 story that was officially put out by the government, when this Obama thing came up with or Osama, whoever he is, it just sounded too strange to everybody.
You know what is? Oh, I was going to say. Oh, go ahead, Janet. Sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, I don't know who danced in the street, you know, for that he was dead or whatever, but I think they must have hired some actors. And then, you know, from there, then after a day or two, they went on to the new story. We don't hear about that at all anymore. It's dead. It's dead.
I don't know. It just seemed to me like a textbook mob hit, you know?
Hey, what we're going to do is we're going to land the helicopters in the compound, and we're going to kill their family, and we're going to dump the body and make them sleep with the fishes. And then we're gonna tell everybody that we had nothing to do with it, you know? And Johnny Tightlips ain't gonna say nothing.
Well, I think you just auditioned for a new movie.
Yeah.
Yes. You could have brought me a blender, Vinny.
I know it's really it's really good for getting rid of human hands, blenders, you know.
All I gotta tell you is that I'm so honored to have Janet and Stuart on the show, because I do think more and more people are waking up. I'm also of the opinion that I don't know that it's going to be a massive global awakening. I think it's going to be more individual responsibility.
That's very true, because, you know, it isn't happening in large bursts, and it depends on where on the planet you're located. For example, you know, here in the United States, it's very minimal, and you can, you know, can count on one hand almost how many people or areas are waking up. Whereas in other parts of the world, like, for example, in Bosnia, in Italy, in other places, Croatia that we went to, people seem to know what the heck is going on. It's like it's just common knowledge, and they don't believe what's going on in the news. And of course,
well, what's really interesting is there's so many truthers and so much alternative media stories that are fed to me and Vinny all the time. And the story out of the U.S. right now that just is a bit disturbing, but it's happening very quietly, is the federal militarization of local police departments. And they're doing it somewhat in California and New York, but I'll tell you where they're doing it the most. They're doing it the most in places like Montana and Idaho.
Well, places where the population is very low and places where people really keep to themselves for the most part.
And also there's more of a vigilante mentality in those kind of states because of the low population, as Stuart was mentioning. Because they're more rural, they're more agrarian, they're more apt to have arms and be militia-oriented. And we wanted to think about the Sarah Palin. You know, I wrote about that in one of my newsletters, how that she's out there really trying to call the people to pick up arms, which follows along with a lot of things Stuart and I have been saying about there's going to be a promotion of civil unrest here in the States particularly. Because they want to create a situation so they can come in and control even more.
And now I'm hearing about the thing with the oil reserves, and a lot of the predictions are they're going to leave gas prices between $4 and $5 in the States, and then what they're going to do is there could be a possibility of oil being cut off from the Middle East, and, you know, now people in America can't get gas, although I also heard that there's areas
well,
of America...
Well, we gotta go. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of madness and chaos, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guests, part of our Friday's Most Discriminated Couples in the Truth movement, it's Janet and Stuart Swerdlow. And if anybody knows how to keep happy amidst the worst of the worst That's Janet and Stuart's Wordline. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Well, I could be wrong, though. Have you approached, like, big stages of, like, mega uber depression and whatnot that you felt that you couldn't be able to get out of with all this crap going on?
Well, of course, you know, that's a normal reaction to things that, you know, when you're constantly bombarded and attacked, you know, like, just for being who you are, you know, it does get to you at times. But then you have to say, you know, that's the whole point, is they're trying to stop you, to divert you, to take your research away so you don't pay attention. And that's why I said the best thing to do is ignore them, because ultimately they are attacking themselves and looking at what parts of themselves they don't like and projecting it out onto others. So hopefully they will learn to do their release work and concentrate on their own lives. Now, people who attack others are diverting attention from the issues within themselves. And so ultimately it will explode in their own faces.
And the other thing you want to remember, too, is that the Illuminati, they consider the emotions of humanity their weak point. And that is what they choose to manipulate and use your own things, your own thoughts, your own feelings against yourself or against others. So if they can't, say, get to Stuart and I, then they try our support system. And then they keep widening that circle round and round, further and further out, and attacking basically or utilizing the weakest links in the chain. Because there's the old saying, one bad apple spoils the barrel. And they're depending on that one bad apple or that one weak link in the chain to break people like us. And, you know, they ought to know by now we're pretty darn strong and only going to get stronger by all the challenges that are out there. So, in a way, the attacks make us define who and what we are. And in a way, it's really strengthening for us. And it also allows those people who have a lot of, not wherewithal, they group together. So it kind of pulls it all, magnetizes them away from us, and it polarizes those who want to be around us and who are good support system to come and be around us. So, you know, in a way, they're doing us a favor by doing what they do. They don't really see it that way, but if we can look at it that way, and everybody out there with the same kind of issues, you got to look at it that way. Hey, these people are doing us a favor. Let them do their work. You know, that's what they're designed to do. They're good at it. Let them go.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it, eh? Yeah. But I'm not sure if I totally agree with you about being the good the bad apple spoiling the whole barrel. I see the world as more or less just a bad barrel with a few good apples.
No, yeah. Well, that's good.
I see it that way too, Vinny. Yeah,
no, but I meant that's what the Illuminati are counting on. Their belief is that they'll have one bad apple to spoil the barrel. Their belief is one weak link in the chain, not necessarily my belief.
Well, you know, that's one of the things I have been thinking about for quite some time, and that is that, unfortunately, if humanity was left on its own devices, what would humanity do with itself? Would people help each other? Would they build a great society? Or would they turn against each other and try to outdo one another? That's the question that I have for people out there, is what will happen if and when humanity is allowed to be on its own and create its own culture? What will be the result?
Well, you know, and I follow through with that movie that was so popular about Gandhi. You know, when the British ruled India, Gandhi, through peaceful revolution, basically, he gathered the people together, and they all together fought the British because they had one common enemy. But once the British was ousted, then the various factions began to divide out again, and they all began to vie for power. And it really was their own people who assassinated Gandhi. It was not the British. And from there was a lot of chaos that ensued in the political government. So, therefore, what Stuart says is something for people to ponder. People want certain things, but how they achieve it and how they get there is certainly up for debate.
Well, I see this as kind of all being on the same side and needing to ally with it because of the common enemy factor. But what you said just triggered something very important, is that if you unite only under the fact that you've got a common enemy and let's leave our quarrels till afterwards, you'll realize that those quarrels that you left to afterwards will then become your new enemy. And so the cycle continues again.
Yes, because it's the people. It's the people who are attracting these things. They haven't changed. They have opportunities for change, but that doesn't mean that they grasp those opportunities.
It's like in the book, The Lord of the Flies, when the kids are trapped on that island and they have this enemy out there. And then finally, towards the end of the book, one of the kids said, "Hey, I've seen the enemy, and the enemy is us." And that's a state of humanity.
Do you believe that to be 100% true, though, that every bit of evil in this world exists because of you?
I know that each one of us individually and collectively projects out our mind patterns into the screen of physical reality for the reflection to come back to us. And so, yes, we are responsible for the oppressors, the tyrants, the experiences, everything that happens. We are responsible for it. Yes, we do provide the suggestion, the impetus for others to take upon themselves to fulfill. But if we don't provide that projection, then no one else could take up that that calling to work against us.
Well, you know, I think you've really touched on something there that I find very important. And it's the reason I started doing what I was doing is because nobody else is doing what I'm doing here in New Zealand. Nobody's making documentaries. Nobody's going out there and filming protests, and they're putting up the YouTube videos and all of that kind of stuff to any great degree. And so I saw the lack of it happening, and I feel that because I'm the only one really doing it to any great extent, I'm not above reproach. If anything, I should be the most highly criticized because it means that I am the person in New Zealand who kind of represents my country to the rest of the world on American Freedom Radio. And I think there's a lot of responsibility, and it needs to have an awful lot of reprimands to it, to my mind. And thus, same with you guys here. I believe that you take your responsibilities of waking up humanity and then not being corrupted very seriously indeed. What I have a problem with is when people do, you know, become trailblazers, but the longer they blaze trails, eventually they become the bad guy that they were fighting against. You know, that's my biggest concern, both for myself and many other members of the truth movement, is that via constant contact with the enemy, you wind up becoming them. And then the people who followed you, the people who relied upon you for their information and all of that, feel really betrayed and totally apathetic and switch off from the truth altogether. That's my greatest fear.
Well, I think there is validity to that, and I've seen that happen. You know, and it's just like, you know, if you have a problem with your parents and you don't work on it, eventually you become just like them. And there's a saying in this kind of work, that you become what you hate, because that's how you understand what it is, when you start to identify with it and then become it, and then you can know what to work on from there. So I think a very good, important point is that as we work against those who oppress us, we look at the traits and characteristics that we don't like and release it from within ourselves, so we don't project that out, and then we cannot become that which we oppose or which we are trying to change. We become something new, some kind of a synthesis of the better qualities of all those involved, so that ultimately there's an entirely new environment, entirely new that will exist in the future, and hopefully will create a society that's equal and prosperous for everybody.
And also, well, you have to go back to what I initially said, is that what you put your attention on, that where you focus, that's what grows energetically. So rather than focus on the outer enemy, take a look at your own inner enemy, so to speak, and then that will dissolve the outer. And, you know, it sounds rather esoteric, but as you work on it, you find it's true. And we're kind of talking, you know, big picture, Illuminati, world government, those sort of things. But as you kind of brought in the beginning, for people to look at their close enemies, and I'm going to put enemies in quote, maybe adversary is a better way, but it can be your boss, it can be your colleague, it can be your neighbor. You know, people need to start on that level and understanding that level. And as they understand that, then the whole world picture begins to change. Because the oppressors that are close to you then move away, and then those who are further and further and further away move away as well. So it is an individual pathway, much more so than people recognize, but in the end, it also is a collective pathway as far as humanity as a whole.
Well, you know what? I think you've actually nailed it right there, is that the whole idea is it's an individual responsibility that just extends primarily to your direct social groups. And that's the way that you stop yourself from becoming corrupt, is you make friends and associate with people who are intelligent that see what corruption for what it is and can tell you whether or not you're exerting some of the symptoms. Preventative medicine for the mind, body and soul is one of the best forms of treatment. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back.
Women and children, front lines, lock on, tune in, stand and be counted. Wounded stations in the belly of the vulture. Watch your back, there's no civilians. Women, children, front lines, listen. Consider this a distant, early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust, particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Hour number two. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can check out our fabulous archives right there, and in case you're wondering how to spell that, that's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, apparently. Now, we're joined by two other extra special guests, and I've been waiting for this moment for a very long time, to have both the Swerdlows and Lenny Horowitz, that is, and Sherry Kane, a.k.a. Batgirl, join us, because she looks so good in tights and a cape, to join us for a panel discussion about, well, basically whatever the heck is going on, because we've got the two most discriminated couples on air and live talk radio. So, welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like a quadruple thank you. That makes me feel really quite uppity and fabulous. It must have been broadcast in 528 hertz or something.
Well, you know, it really is. It's definitely a divine appointment. When we were at the conspiracy conference and we were sitting next to Stuart, afterwards he came up to us, he talked to us, and I said, you know, I said, he is so nice. I said, we should find out, you know, how we can connect with him again. And then Vinny said to us, hey, you know, he's going to be on our show. And I said, wow, isn't that wild? And Len and I were like,
here we
wow,
are.
Crazy. Divine appointment.
Well, we support you, and we know what you're going through because we're going through similar things. And you know what? There is power in getting together, and we can be invincible.
You bet. Yeah, that's right.
And I put the Vince in Invincible.
I like that one. And you're in the middle. There you are.
Yeah, see, I find myself doing that, just basically being the middleman. I don't know. It's probably because I'm just so much of an attention whore that I go around and make friends with everybody and then just kind of link people up. It's real funny. Sometimes friends of mine will come up to me with a problem, and within 12 minutes or something, I'll have them in contact with somebody who can solve their problem in about 20 minutes.
You know, the beauty of that word, invincible, it also states invincible.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
I'll print that on my counterfeit currency, you know. Instead of in God we trust, it'll say invincible.
Yeah.
I like that. Good.
I'm going to remember to be a little bit silly, ladies and gentlemen. I think it was like a A quote from Einstein, a little bit of madness now and then, amuses even the wisest men.
You know, and the issues are so challenging, it's really appropriate to keep some levity. And, you know, this program, I think, you know, the four of us, five of us, can do a slam dunk on the number one critical matter that's suppressing, depressing everybody, not just in America, but worldwide. It's all mind control. It's all enslavement through distractions, deceptions, and illusions. And I think, you know, Stuart and Janet and Sherry and I have been abused by that system, and with the grace of the Creator, been able to discern who's doing it, why they're doing it, how they're doing it, and how, by coming together on a program like this, the light and the truth shall set us free. You know, the shining the light of truth on these dark recesses of the virtual corporate industrialists that are conducting genocide, and that using we the people, we the sheeple, to deliver their confusion, their messages, and remain in the maya of darkness and divided instead of collaborating. That's, I think, the remedy. And I think that this program today has a great opportunity to administer some of that remedy.
Well, I think it's kind of about being vigilant. Oh, that's another V word. There we go. Both over your enemy and over your friends. Protective of your friends, but also watchful of them. Because I think that we can all be influenced to do naughty or bad things or whatever. And I believe the majority of people who've become patriots, activists, and things of that nature used to buy into the system themselves before waking up. So I believe that there's still that potential that still persists in all of us, but I'm not sure if that same experience extends both to Janet and Stuart, because you guys have kind of always been very awake to a certain extent. You never really had any establishment holding views that got shattered, were there?
Well, you know, I was always raised with the idea that no matter how high you are, you can always fall. And so I am always very mindful of what I do and how I do. And I do understand that I can be taken down just like anybody else. So it makes me be more vigilant in watching what's going on within myself rather than thinking that, you know, I'm invincible. I mean, it's a great attitude, but, you know, I don't underestimate the enemy, and I do know that they're out there. And it, like we said in the first part of the show, ultimately the enemy is myself. So, you know, I do watch myself as much as possible and the tricks and traps and deceptions that are set for me. And I understand that I could be caught up, and I do think it's a good idea that we watch each other and support each other, that we don't fall into the traps and pitfalls.
Yeah, I mean, I had a comment from somebody the other day and saying that they're sort of afraid because they believe that as soon as you stand up, you know, you'll get knocked down. And my answer to that is mate, it's far more dangerous to be on your knees, okay? Because then you can get kneed in the teeth just that much easier.
Exactly. And, you know, Lenny had a good point before about people getting together, because this is not a time for dissension. This is not a time for attacking others and ripping apart the truth movement. This is a time for people to start working together. We're getting to very critical points now. As I mentioned, the second half of this year and most of next year, things are going to get intensified, magnified. Everyone needs to come together and surpass what's happening and not attack and rip everything apart, because we get divided when we're ripped apart. We need to get together, we need to become stronger, and we need to remove the programming, the mind control, everything that's being imposed on us, and take back our power.
Exactly. You know, we just read an independent media on World Net Daily. I don't know if you ever read that. They send us their newsletters. And the latest one was talking about how Delta Airlines was going to be taking on Saudi Airlines, and that they were going to have a no, quote, Jew policy, end quote, in their rules.
I saw that.
As in for passengers or just for employees?
The passengers. Of course, the employees as well, but the passengers that get on the plane.
You know, and so the divisiveness that we're advancing in this program a solution, you know, especially tuning to what Janet said about this being a spiritual blessing, moving towards self-awareness so that we don't fall into, we don't allow our egos to get in the way, to undermine us with anything other than this concept of love and forgiveness and moving forward in this concept of recreating the reality, the earth, ourselves, the way we aspire, the way we envision it, and the way we have in our hearts that it can be. I think that that is what's at the crux of this anti-Jewish, we talked about this on this program, Vinny, this whole new world order being ascribed to the Zionists. And gee whiz, that's the most divisive thing. Usually religions are used and governments and land ownership is used to foment wars. And of course, the COINTELPRO propagandists, they foment in our minds and our egos this fear mechanism that operates in the ego mind, not the heart mind, but the ego mind, that it foments this anxiety and division. And that, I think, is the greatest calling that we have right now, because not only are we seeing it happen, just like Janet's talking about, it's happening in our relationships. Just look at this program today. This happened like a divine appointment, a divine synchronicity. You know, we met Stuart the other day, fell in love with him, and suddenly the prayer manifests that we're together on the Vinny the Invincible show. You know, so this is happening all over the world to people who are having faith in their hearts that there can be a better way made by coming together in collaboration and using the loving hearts as discernment for not buying into the same old, divide the sheeple to conquer the flock.
Well, you know, and going back to the divide and conquer, I mean, we do know for a fact that there are COINTELPRO agents out there. And what happens is that because just the mere fact that there's COINTELPRO agents out there, it makes patriots all suspicious of each other. You know,
accusatory
with no evidence. And that's what really rubs me the wrong way, is when it's people from within your own movement that attack you, and they're not actually COINTELPRO, they just think that you are.
I think that's a very good point. And, of course, we've talked about, Stuart and I have talked about this for the last few months. That's exactly what happened to us. But you know what? We really figured out in the long run that these were people who could not grow any further. And therefore, they kind of, you know, went backwards, which is their right to do. But what's interesting is we let it go and we move forward. We have had another layer of people step up who have been more supportive and more enabling in a positive way. So I believe that what we have gone through are our own personal tests. And as we pass those, we're kind of like rewarded, let's say, with people who are supportive and who do understand us, and we keep moving up. I kind of call it an upward spiral. And just as Lenny and Sherry are saying, you know, they're 1 minute, they're together in California. Now, basically, you know, Stuart and they are together here in New Zealand and around the world. The support systems are growing as we move through those who would attack us rather than fall into those traps and distractions.
Exactly. And I think that it also, it takes discernment to be able to, you know, feel that. I think that, you know, even when Stuart came up to us, like he knew, he felt that what we were saying was the truth. He felt that he needed to connect. And when we spoke with him, we knew that he was an honest person. It all takes discernment. It was like, just, you know, like you say that, you know, you can't trust everybody in the movement, in the activist movements, because it has been infiltrated. But I believe that, you know, we have been blessed with that discernment to be able to see it for what it is. And we've never been wrong. Thank God for that. I mean, I'm not saying that we can't be wrong, but we haven't so far been wrong. We've always had, you know, the beautiful people like Stuart and like you, Janet, just, you know, and Vinny coming into our life. And it's just been a blessing. So all the bad people out there that are attacking us really can't even add up to the great people that we meet. So well, it's just
that goes back to what I was talking before about how one truth can shatter a thousand lies. One truther is worth a thousand liars.
Right, exactly.
And Sherry, you're right, because, you know, when you count up all those people out there who are the attackers, they really are the minority. They're a very small group that make a lot of noise.
Exactly.
And if you count all the people who are good and who are surrounding you and supporting you, they're much more of them than of the others.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like if you have a hurt toe, you know, it's a very small part of the body, but if it hurts, you know, that's what gets your attention, and you focus there, and it's really bigger than what it is. And so if we take a look at these people who are attacking you, and for those people who are listening, as I talked about before, those in your own life, you know, it really is a small portion of the overall life experience. And so let's remove our focus from the big toe or the little toe, and let's look at that greater picture, because that's what's going to elevate and allow us to surpass without feeling downtrodden, suppressed, and repressed.
You know, there's concept also that it's small-mindedness that reflects this minority of antagonists that we're basically being attacked by. And it's just exactly like you guys have been saying. If we simply don't focus on it, that is, don't give it any more energy, because they represent such a lame brain minority anyway. If we diminish our own selves, our own integrity, our own self-worth, it's obvious to most readers, for example, the folks that have been attacking us have been posting just the most stupid things on the internet. You know, oh, Vinny, this is the latest. Suddenly I'm no longer a Knight of Malta. Now they've shifted the whole thing around. They created the lie that I was a Knight of Malta. Now they're saying, no, he's not a Knight of Malta.
So, no. Now they're saying he's the Maltese Falcon itself.
Right. Oh, right now, no, now they're claiming that I'm the Pope.
I thought I was.
Oh, well, okay. You could be. I would love to have somebody else take the burden.
Well, you know, Lenny, I've got a level with you, man. I've always been suspicious of your fondness of pointy hats.
That's right. I wear those dunce caps all the time so that I can give my adversaries an opportunity to degrade me more.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Oh, go ahead, Stuart.
No, I just want to tell Lenny and Sherry, you know, we, especially me, have been accused of everything you can possibly imagine. I mean, you picked something out there, and they have blamed me for that. In fact, it got to a point where I thought I'd hear Obama blame me for the deficit and the, you know, the war in Central Asia as well at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's because, you know, they're trying to you send out this message to discredit you to people. But again, you know, anybody that listens to you, anybody that meets you will see the, like, light and love shining through you. And that's what we believe about us, too. We believe that if people are open-minded and they have an open heart to see the truth and hear the truth, then there's no way that they could ever believe, you know, anything that these people say.
But well, you know, The thing is that they're so afraid of seeing their own beauty and their own magnificence. And that's what they cannot see. When we are out there being who we are honest about who we are true to ourselves. And most people cannot be that with themselves. And I have found, surprisingly enough, that people are more afraid of the positive than they are of the negative. Because they know the negative. It's what they have lived their lives with and through. And when we stand up and we say, this is who we are, and this is what you can be, that frightens them. And therefore, they throw their stones and rocks because they are afraid of their own personal power.
And not only do they throw their stones and rocks, they poke at you with sticks from under rocks, and then they retreat back.
Yeah,
in. They're like these comic book characters. And, you know, Lenny, I got a thing, you know, as soon as somebody says that you're a Knight of Malta or something, I was thinking to add to your permanent attire a Robin Hood-type cap with an extremely ridiculously long feather in it. And you also definitely need to carry around a pair of gloves so you can slap people in the face and challenge them to a duel as a Knight of Malta. There we go.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side.
Yeah.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about organized crime. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. It's all about burying you 6 feet under or making you sleep with the fishes.
My very special guest, and I think it was kind of a groundbreaking show. God dang it. Because, you know, two of the coolest couples in talk radio right here, Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane, otherwise known as Horro Kane.
you're enjoying yourself, Vinny.
Incidentally, one of the more dangerous substances known to man, odorless, tasteless. And we all comes in a powdered form. If you know, never mind. And also we have Stuart and Janet Swerdlow from expansions.com, helping people to wake up and realize their own individual power and things of that nature. And the whole subject together is it's sort of like an opposites attracts, insides or outsides, personal responsibility versus collective responsibility, tying it all together here, because we are dealing with a population now worldwide that has been sophisticatedly manipulated into supporting agendas and systems that are very, very dangerous for them. And this extends across every single sector of society, from the food supply and water supply through to politics, business, and media. All of them are contaminated in varying degrees in various certain ways. And when we think about the magnitude of the problem, again, it comes back to you personally. What can you do about it? Are you free? And there's a bunch of subjects that we wanted to bring up here that we were talking about over the break. Len, go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm going to pass over to Sherry, because I think Sherry's got a great handle on this concept of self-loathing. And I want to then, after she finishes, I want to bring in something to what Janet said, dealing with how the people who are really virtually demonically possessed, if you will, who are attacking good, loving people and keeping society from advancing holistically, naturally, healthfully, happily, prosperously, that those people have something wrong besides this self-loathing concept. So, Sherry, why don't you take this concept, give us a definition of self-loathing and where it is that these people are coming from and how we need to get out of it and get beyond it.
Well, I think Janet really touched on the fact that these people really have a problem with themselves. They're really not happy with themselves. They really dislike themselves. And that's the whole point of self-loathing. And it comes from them really hating themselves. And it's also the point, if you want to look at Henry Kissinger, who supported the Nazi Germany. Now, why would a man of Jewish descent participate with other Jewish people, along with others, not just Jews, but supporting Nazi Germany? And, you know, you look at this concept and think, why would anybody want to go against people that, you know, could be their own family? Why would they do that? Because really deep down, they have a self-loathing of their own background. They have a self-loathing of their parents. They have a self-loathing of themselves, the way they are brought up. And it all comes from, why does somebody hate themselves? Well, when they were growing up, they were told that they weren't good enough. They were told that they were, or they were sexually abused. And that's usually the case in a lot of these people that, especially the ones attacking us, is they have been abused. They've been abused, and now they want to go out and become the abuser. And that's where you find pedophiles. And that was my whole thing in life, was that I wanted to help save children. I wanted to help save them from child sex trafficking, from pedophiles. And I wanted to be able to put some way out there, some kinds of groups out there to put protection for these children. And it's just been really difficult, because if you look at who is behind it, and you start to dig, you start to see it comes from very powerful places, people with lots of money who you're not going to be able to help the children that easily. The only thing that we can do is spread the awareness of it and let everybody know that, you know, who's out there doing it. And if we all come together and make it an issue where the mainstream media starts to touch it, then you know, might become more, they might become more accountable for their actions.
So with that introduction, I think that the main issue from a behavioral science and media education perspective, this show today is groundbreaking. It is historic, because what I want to share following that is that when Sherry mentioned abuse and Janet mentioned the lacking self-love, the critical issue among COINTELPRO, that's the only thing that makes sense, because we've been exposing the Church of Satan, literal Church of Satan, Temple of Set, key names Michael Aquino, supported by the Ted Gundersons of the world, the Dr. Truotts of the world. These people, the only thing that you can reconcile their behavior and their attacking good, sweet, loving human beings is this concept evolved by the FBI in their really powerful behavioral science division in Quantico. There's three researchers there, Burgess, Ressler, and Douglas. And they developed, through lots of research, a motivational model for sexual homicide. And they were looking at serial killers. They needed to find out how to anticipate a serial killer's next move, because they needed to apprehend a serial killer before they killed again. These were the people that literally did the most hideous satanic rituals with their victims. They all involved murder and sexuality. And as a result of their research and their publications, they determined that the common thread was, as Sherry mentioned, all of them had been sexually abused as children. And in that sexual abuse, what happened to their brains is it got virtually fried, or the neurology became switched. That meant that what made a normal person happy made them uncomfortable, and what upset a normal person was what they thrived off of. And it was further determined that these people then engage ongoing, over and over again, ritualistic slayings, abuses, the same type that we're witnessing with the satanic churches, the same types of child trafficking, satanic sex slavery, and ritualistic issues that have been very superficially dealt with by the Ted Gundersons of the world. So, in essence, we're looking at a COINTELPRO that confuses and mixes us all up and turns our heroes into enemies of state or Knights of Malta, and then subsequently in the process covers up the fact that they themselves, likely for them to be pedophile protectors, for them to be engaged in the Church of Satan, or as the Bible talks about in these end times now, it's supposed to be the synagogue of Satan.
Because there wasn't any churches.
There wasn't any churches at the time. So it's the synagogue of Satan and or the Church of Satan, and it's the satanic ritual abuses, and it's ultimately the traumatic experiences, the early childhood abuses and sexual abuses that these people have to relive over and over and over again in order to assert some sense of self-empowerment.
It's basically the whole idea is that they need to bring others down to their level so that they feel like they've accomplished some kind of leveling up. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But okay, we've got a caller here. I don't mean to cut you off, Len, but caller, area code 447. You're on the air.
Hi, Vinny. Hi, Len.
Hey, hey mate. How's it going?
Yeah, fine, thanks. This is Ben from the UK. It's interesting stuff you've just mentioned there, Len. Just to mention, to further that a little bit, just from personal experience, there was some paedophilia in my family that occurred. So, you know, whatever brainwashing's occurring, you know, it's happening so much on the actual, you know, the public level as well. It just manifests itself everywhere. And, you know, as you get older and you discuss these things in a further field, you find out that, you know, child abuse is so common, absolutely so common across, you know, every family. Every family, there's a story about this, you know, child abuse on some sort of level. It's rife throughout the whole of humanity. It's crazy. And I totally agree, unless we change our paradigm as a people, that there's no way that we're going to be able to overthrow this at all.
Mm.
I don't think I can agree more, because, I mean, I've tried to, just to give you a bit of recent, I've tried recently to try and, you know, do some positive action in the local community and so forth, and, you know, get involved and, you know, local action groups and things like that, and realise that you just squashed every second of, you know, every turn, you basically stopped from doing anything at all. And there's such heinous reasons as well, for your tax money being going to the wrong things, or they're using fine money for, you know, painting double yellow lines outside of school, but they can't fund double yellow lines because they use parking fine money for that, and there's not enough of that left, and so forth. It's like, well, you're using fine money to fund our stuff which should just come out of our tax budgets, you know, and things like that. So you just don't seem to be able to get anywhere. So it seems to be the key thing. We need to change, just get people to change their views and change the way they are.
Well, you know, you've touched on an interesting point there, Aman, is that, basically, it appears to me, and at least in my experience, that the entire system, when you go out and you try to convince people of the truth, whether it's bullhorning or filming or ambushing politicians or whatever, you realize very quickly on that the system is geared to take things from you and not to give you a helping hand to bring it down. And that occurs across the whole wavelength. It's not just people who currently work for the government or are politicians. It's all the people that vote for them. It's all the people that pay their taxes, which is, just such a large plethora. And the question for me becomes, why haven't we figured out how to be totally and utterly self-reliant and be able to survive and thrive in a system that basically attempts to make sure the opposite occurs, you know? That was the first thing that I had to realize before really starting to wake up, is that I'm not going to get any help from the system to wake up or accomplish anything. I have to do it myself.
Yeah. The interesting thing you mentioned there, Vinny, is to do it yourself. So if we try and become self-sufficient, for instance, here in the UK, I've been looking recently into, you know, home-growing food and so forth, and trying to promote that. So, as you know, through previous chat room discussions. But one of the things I realised here is that you cannot have animals. You're not allowed to have animals unless you're a farmer in this country, for, you know, food. You're not allowed livestock at all. You're allowed a few chickens, but that's it.
Did you have something to add there, Janet?
No, I was just going to say, you know, again, just like I talked about people being afraid of the beauty and the magnificence of their soul, they are also afraid for self-responsibility. So when we have the tyrant or the oppressor holding us back, it's very easy to sit back and complain about it. It's much more challenging, like this gentleman is saying, you know, you can't have animals, but you could have some chickens. Well, you know, the chickens are a start. And if everybody got their chickens, the next thing you know, you could get a little bigger animal, a little bigger animal. But instead, people are going to sit back and complain, because that idea of self-responsibility, even though we want it, it is still frightening. And I'm not saying that to put anybody down. I'm saying that because that is the truth. And we have to recognize that as an individual, hey, I'm afraid to take that responsibility, because whatever I decide, you know, right or wrong, correct or incorrect, I am responsible for the result. I cannot blame somebody else if it doesn't turn out well or if it's more challenging or whatever. So just like I'm afraid of the magnificence of my being, I am afraid of self-responsibility. And once I recognize my fears and I admit my fears, then I can transcend my fears. But that is a big challenge for people, and I empathize with everyone because I've been there, and some days I am there, but I am in the process of moving through them and getting on the other side, and I'm intent on that happening, and I will make that happen, and I am make that happening. And you see, you have to have that mindset that pushes you through, And with everything that's out there, it's not designed to let you through. You have got to find your own path. And that's what this is about. It's about self-empowerment and being willing to take that and the risks that that entails.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we're coming up to break, Cheryl, and we've still got two callers holding on the line. Sorry, you'll have to hold over the break. But, caller, do you have anything final to say?
That's interesting. One of the things that I do actually have chickens here now, and I've got a couple of other family members to do the same as well, which is we're doing it for the eggs, which is working out really well. It's just the foxes we've got to pay now.
You did. You broke your programming and you got yourself some chooks. Thanks so much for joining us today, man.
No worries, mate. Take it easy.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Cheers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, cutting to break now. We'll be right back after the break, and we have two callers holding on the line. We will take your calls momentarily. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the most discriminated couples in the Truth Movement Fridays, and we'll be right back.
The way it's going to be.
Afraid. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. Final segment of the week. And before we go to our final two callers, Sherry, you had a quick thing to say about our previous caller's comments that he's going out and not having much success and getting a little bit disheartened by it.
Well, the point is that there's people at the highest levels that are out there controlling all the major child sex trafficking trade out there. And you look at the Demi and Ashton Foundation, which was started by Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, and their main slogan is, "Are you a real man? Do you prefer a real man?" And it's sponsored by the UN. And if they're looking at the local pedophile, who I'm sure doesn't care if they're questioning whether he's a real man or whether women out there prefer him to be a real man, these are people on high-level power positions that don't care if you're going to question them in that way. So I'm not sure whether they're aware of what they're putting out there or whether they, you know, they really do believe they're doing a good job. They're trying to at least, but they're working for the same people. It's like a dead end. They're working for the people that are actually in control of all
of this.
You
know, it's a bandage on a hemorrhage.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know? The femoral artery has burst. Let's put some spandex on it or something. You know, let's give you an extra pair of tights as a tourniquet. There you go. That'll work. That's the Walmart solution for you. Now, we're going to go to our callers now. One of them's been holding for 16 minutes. Absolutely impressed with the patience here. Caller, you're on the air.
Well, hello. Thank you for taking my call here. You know, I had a couple of questions for Dr. Horowitz and your guest there. We were talking about pedophilia. Of course, the Jesuits just recently settled a very large case back in Oregon. I think it was about $166 million. And there's obviously been a lot of problems with the Catholic Church and pedophilia. But the question also pertains to the Jesuits' involvement in a lot of other affairs, such as, you know, well, they basically run the CIA now. And there's been a network of this operation going around the world. I was just wondering what kinds of interest and exposure your guests have been applying to this, as well as the Freemason contacts and things like that. People like the Knights of Malta involved with this same cartel of people. And you know, that was one question. Had another one, too, as well, if they wanted to answer that one first.
Yeah, sure. You know, I think that that's a really important question, and I'm just becoming aware myself as to exactly what I just said. We're looking at what appears to be a satanic church and satanic mindset that stems from themselves, the agents, having been abused as children. When you look at, for example, Skull and Bones fraternity, they actually, George Bush Jr. actually was confronted on this. There was an investigator that went in there and determined that, and filmed on video, and then he was assassinated. The ritual of giving glory to skulls and deaths and having mock burials. And the mindset, it's demonic, it's evil, it's negative, it's not loving, it's not uplifting, it's not nurturing. And so it's, again, where you see the neurology is switched, you see exactly what the top behavioral scientists at the FBI studying serial killers, that's them being demonstrated. And we see, for example, the critical issue of the cover-up of this in the United States, whether it goes, and I'm sure it has, because what I've been looking at is similar to what you've been saying. I see that there's and the links to the Catholic Church. Again, when you've got to go back to the Catholic Church, who created the Catholic Church? When was it created? Who created it? You've got to go back and you've got to really look very carefully at who created all the religions, what its links to original Judaism was. I just posted a wonderful essay on the remedy. If you go to truot.com, that's T-R-U-E-O-T-T.com, you could read the remedy that I just advanced dealing with this issue. And you've got to come to the conclusion that I have, that this level of evil starts where the person is disempowered, disabled by sexual abuse as a child, and therefore grows up fearful and disempowered, feeling frustrated. And when you steal a human being's power, the researchers showed that what they tend to do is play out over and over again, ritualistically, the same abuse on others. And so this begins to explain the connections of the Illuminati, and again, the royal family of England, whether they be Jews or arguably Jews or arguably Gentiles now involved, it really doesn't matter. What the real division is who's been abused and who hasn't been abused. Personally, I've never been sexually abused. I had very nice, loving parents. But like the earlier caller stated from Britain, I can't imagine, I never would have believed how many people, even in my own circle of friends, have had abuse, were abused by a stepfather or an uncle or
even their own father.
Or even their own fathers. So this is the issue that's never been clearly addressed. Like you're saying, the Roman Catholic Church has been in this era of one world religion. The Roman Catholic Church has taken the heat for all the pedophiles in the churches. So the priests.
Thank you.
You know, so
one more question.
And Bob, you'll have to ask your question, and then we'll have to let you go because we've got our final caller and a few minutes left in the thing. So go ahead and ask your question. Bob, go ahead and ask your question. Are you there? Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. I was just going to say that, you know, the other question I had was that for a long time, Dr. Horowitz has been involved in a debate against Peter Duisberg and the HIV/AIDS hypothesis. Now, there's a lot of people like Mike Adams, G. Edward Griffin, and other number of people who still argue the viral cause of AIDS. Has he changed his position at all on that?
No, I haven't. As a matter of fact, my real position I've articulated from the very beginning, that it's the same COINTELPRO mix-it-all-up Hegelian dialectic that's being played out. Anybody that believes that HIV causes AIDS has been wrong from the very beginning. It's a cofactor. What causes most of the deaths are pharmaceuticals. We all agree on that, but yet, like you're saying, people have been thinking that Horowitz is this, you know, fear-monger and saying that the virus causes AIDS. That's a lot of bull. I've never been saying that from the very beginning. It's the COINTELPRO that have been saying that Horowitz is saying this. You know,
Okay, there we go. It's the COINTELPRO, bro. And our final caller here, you've been waiting for 15 minutes. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Len. And Sherry still there?
Yeah, hi.
Yep.
How are you?
And yeah, I'm a Philadelphian myself. I used to sing your praises. I remember you on Fox. But I'm having problems. It seems of late, you know, Sacred Spiral and Lies We Trust, great stuff. But it seems you stop short and protect the true nature of this century-old conspiracy here. We have a handful of so-called Jews who have usurped key positions around the world, and you refuse to get into that. First of all, the Jesuit order was founded by crypto Jews.
We're getting into it major league. We're at the forefront of getting into it. Please,
not from what I read, sir. Not from what I've read. Could you direct me towards something?
Reading, I don't know whose stuff you're reading, but it's a lot
I read your stuff extensively.
If you go to trueot.com, and at the top of the webpage, you'll see Remedy. Click on it. And
TrueOt supposedly...
Go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, if you go right into that article, it's a lengthy essay. That's actually not that long. It's a couple pages long, and it deals explicitly with what is the Jews' responsibility, who did what are you and I going to do about it, what is this whole thing about a Jew world order, what is this, ultimately what you have to realize in Jesus' time, if you consider yourself a Christian or even a Muslim, you've got to understand that your prophets and your Savior came out of the Jewish religion. There was only the Jewish religion back in the Western world. It was the first, the monotheistic, the one God religion came from the Jews. Now, if you understand that, then you've got to next ask the question, where did the religions come from in the Western world that are being used to divide we the sheeple to conquer the flock? And so, again, we're not dealing with Jews like, let's say, myself. You can't persecute me for an Illuminati that has blood lineage in the Jewish religion. Again, it's he said it is the synagogue of Satan. This is Revelation 3:9, where it is the synagogue. Let's say the Jews of Satan who are not Jews. He said, beware of those who call themselves Jews who are not. Just like Christians today, beware of Christians. Or beware of Muslims who call themselves Christians and Muslims. What does it really mean to be a Jew? It has to do with what Janet was talking about earlier. It has to do with Jesus' mission and ministry, a sect of Judaism featuring love, featuring self-love and self-worth and divine human communion, that you have in your heart this divine blessing and anointing of a Holy Spirit that does all the healing. And it is by your faith that you are healed. It is by your literally prayer that the words of that power can come out and manifest miracles. This is what a real Jew is about.
It's indeed, and unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. That concludes another fabulous week of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Thank you, Stuart, Janet, Lynn, and Sherry. It has been a marvelous pleasure. Groundbreaking show today, and all the callers and listeners today, thank you immensely as well. And you can check out the archives of the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.